Before we kind of get going with the context of what we're going, I was thinking about this, that the what we're going to be talking about, even though I don't know that if asked, you know, we all would probably say, yes, the Holy Spirit is important, but the Holy Spirit can be somewhat polarizing to Christians. We can kind of get a little nervous when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. So I ask that you keep an open mind today. You might be pushed to the brim of your theological comfort zone. That's okay, so was I. But I'm excited to be talking about this with you all this morning. To begin, I want to do like a would you rather question. Everybody familiar kind of with what a would you rather question is? So like a little bit of audience participation today. So actually, before we get going, I just want to make sure you're all awake. So I kind of put your arms in the air a little bit, do a little exercise, waking up a little bit. There we go. I'm missing this row right here. Come on, I'm not starting until I see a little hand action. Okay. Everybody is good. The Holy Spirit moves and He works in our life, and got to get that blood flowing. Okay. So would you rather question. So I'm going to ask you to show by hands, okay? Would you rather have something tangible that you can touch or see that's really great, or something that you can't touch or see but is way better? Okay, so something that you can touch, something tangible. Who would rather have that? And if you're just basing this off of knowing what I'm talking about today, stop it, okay? Be honest, because I would fairly bet that most of us want to get a hold of something, right? All right, what about something we can't see but's way better? Liars, okay. All right. Did I ever tell you my like second passion? I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, so I'm kind of feeling that out today. Hold on to that, because we're going to come back to that a little bit later this morning. So I want us to kind of get going. I want you to reflect on some questions before we kind of dig in. And those were actually, they're in your bulletin. So if you forget them, that's okay. But who is the Holy Spirit? I want you to kind of reflect on these as we're talking this morning. So who is the Holy Spirit? Why is He important? And do you give Him the same attention that you give the Father and the Son? All right, if you got your Bibles this morning, I invite you to open up to the book of John, chapter 16. And we're going to start out in verse 4 through 15. It said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray before we get going. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for what it teaches us, what it tells us, how it convicts our hearts. Lord, I pray that we are open to its message today, that it leads us and it guides us through Your Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, so here in John chapter 16, Jesus' time on earth was coming to an end. And He's meeting with His disciples, and he's going through a series of topics with them. And as He's probably going through these, His disciples are probably becoming more unnerved at what He's starting to say. Okay, because they've been following this guy for a while, and they put all their trust in Him. They gave up everything they had, and He's saying, like, I'm going away. And they're like, whoa, right? And so I'm sure they're becoming unnerved that He's not going to be with them any longer. And then Jesus lets them in on some pretty big news here in John chapter 16. Let me read verse 7 for us again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. The Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. I think we're all, at least the majority of us, are fairly familiar with this passage. I'm asking, did you catch what He says? Jesus says something very interesting there that I think we can tend to overlook just in the grand context. He's getting ready to be crucified. He was going to rise. He was eventually going to return to the Father. And here in verse 7, Jesus talks about sending a helper, who is the Holy Spirit. But here's the magnitude of what Jesus is saying that I think we can tend to overlook. He says, "It is your advantage that I go away." Now, I think when we think about Jesus, I don't know that we ever comprehend the fact that Jesus going away is a good thing, right? Jesus is our Savior. Jesus, we want Jesus. But here he's telling the disciples, it's going to benefit you that I'm leaving. And I'm sure the disciples at this point are like, "I don't think so, Jesus. We like having you here." Jesus knew what was happening. Jesus knew why he was there. He knew what was going to happen. I don't think that the disciples at this point really didn't comprehend what all this was about, that sooner or later Jesus was going to be crucified and they couldn't fathom, "Oh, one of us is going to betray you." But all this is about to go down, and Jesus is saying, when it does, you want me gone because I'm sending you someone that is going to help you better than me on this planet. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead of myself for a moment to give us some early clarity on this. Here's some things to remember so we don't like lose our mind at the statement I just made. The Holy Spirit is fully God. It's important. And two, each member of the Godhead, the Trinity, has a specific purpose. And as we dig in and we see those purposes, the Holy Spirit being our helper and being more helpful for us than Jesus is going to make some very big sense. All right? So let's kind of trek on here. I would think that thousands of years ago, when Jesus told the disciples what he told them, they struggled with that. Like, I think we might even struggle with that. Jesus, how are you going away going to be better for me? I've given up everything for you. Because for them, especially, how is trading a human Jesus, someone physical, for an invisible spirit better? Is that better? It had to go through their minds, right? Jesus, you're here. Like, we have dinner with you. And you're telling me you're going to go away, you're going to send some helper, and he's better for me? All right, let's go back for a second. Remember the would you rather question that most of you lied about. But we'll pray about that later. Here's the thing. You may or may not have realized the topic for this morning, and that's okay. But still, I think a lot of us, if we had to really choose, would we rather have a physical Jesus than an invisible Holy Spirit? I think we would want a physical Jesus. Because as people, we like to have things, right? That's why they have TV shows about hoarders and stuff like that, right? People, as human beings, we like physical stuff, right? And we struggle without it. And when we think about it, it's just simpler, even just physical over an invisible Holy Spirit. I think we would even break that down to say Jesus over the Holy Spirit. But Jesus told his followers, and subsequently us, that it is better for us to have the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say that, remember, that does not negate who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. If we want to go to heaven, we better believe in him. But he was wanting them to realize the magnitude of what he was doing. And so when he says, guess what? I'm sending you a helper, and he's better for you than me. Do we believe him? Do we act like we believe him? Does our lives reflect that belief. I think most of us, at least, have a very basic understanding of the Holy Spirit, at least. But I think when it comes to experiencing the Holy Spirit in our lives, it might be a different story. I'm going to read a question. I'm going to actually stop speaking, and I'm going to ask you to think about this question for a moment. When was the last time you undeniably saw the Holy Spirit at work in or around you? I'll read it again, and I'll give you a moment to kind of think about that. When was the last time you undeniably saw the Holy Spirit at work in or around you? Go and take a few moments to think about that. Keep thinking about it. I don't want to spend too much time because then people on YouTube are going to be like, what's he doing? I think that question's important for a couple reasons. It pushes us to remember the things he is doing in our lives. I don't think we take enough time to reflect on how God works in our lives each and every day. And more specifically, how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives each and every day. And also, it can bring us to this realization, maybe why we don't think about it, not much is going on. I know that can be very convicting. I can be very convicted at when I start thinking about it. I was like, why hasn't God been doing stuff in my life? Oh, because I haven't been giving him the attention he deserves. That's the thing about our God. He's so wonderful. He doesn't force himself on us. He says, I'm here when you need me. So when we ask ourselves questions like that, it can kind of sting a little. But that's okay. Let me ask this. Who would say that having a firm and active, growing relationship with the Father is important? You can raise your hand. You can speak. Whatever you want to do. Okay. Who would say that having a firm, active, growing relationship with Jesus is important? Okay. So here's the deal. Just like Father and Son, a firm, active, growing relationship is equally important with the Holy Spirit. It is. I mean, even when Jesus is sharing the Great Commission with his disciples, he proclaims to them, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and who? Holy Spirit. This guy's important. The Holy Spirit is immensely important to us, but the question is, are we treating one-third of the Godhead with the reverence, respect, and worthiness he deserves? You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think we can give him a lot of lip service. I think we talk him up, right? But, and once again, we kind of already said this, but I don't know that there's any of us, if polled right here, right now, would say, the Holy Spirit, take him or leave him. Right? We'd all be like, he's important. But our actions speak much louder than our words. We've been talking about the Believe series and Christianity, kind of 101 theology, characteristics of God and Jesus, and we're going to continue in that. And I'm sure throughout it, we will hear about the oneness of God the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit multiple times. But I think it's important for a reminder for us, once again, that they are all God. And I think we have a hard time wrapping our head around that. And we're supposed to, because we're humans and we're not God. And so there are things about God that we are just never going to get. I had a Bible school professor once tell our class that some of these things about God that we have a hard time understanding, stop trying to understand it, because you will make yourself go crazy trying to get it, because God is on a whole different playing field than we are. The simple stuff that we need to know, he dumbed that down for us. Thank you, God. All right? But some of this bigger stuff, people have been debating it much smarter than I am for a long time, and they haven't figured it out, so there's no way I'm going to be like, yep, I got it. All right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are all one, and they are all God. I don't get it. That's okay, because God does. Francis Chan says this about the Trinity. He says, I've heard the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit described like the three parts of an egg, the shell, the white stuff, and the yolk. I've also heard people say that God is like a three-leaf clover, three arms, yet all are part of one clover. Another comparison is to the three forms of water. While these serve as acute metaphors for an unexplainable mystery, the fact is that God is not like an egg, a three-leaf clover, or the three forms of water. God is not like anything. He is incomprehensible, incomparable, and unlike any other being. He is outside our realm of existence and thus outside our ability to categorize him. While analogies may be helpful in understanding certain aspects of who he is, let's be careful not to think our analogies in any way encapsulates his nature. He's telling us God can't be put into a box. Like, and I think we struggle with that because we like things to be understood. We like things to be, you know, we got to figure this out. The Bible tells us there are mysteries of God that we're just not supposed to know. And I think this is probably one of them that we're never going to fully grasp. They're all one, and they share these amazing characteristics that we just can't begin to understand, because they're just outside our realm of understanding. But as I reflected on that this week, I don't know if any of you feel this way, but the fact that I don't understand that brought me a sense of calmness, because God is, he's just outside of my realm, and that's okay with me because he's in control. He's God. And if he was on my level, then he wouldn't be God. And I'm like, you know what? I serve a God who can do things that I just can't fathom, that only imagination can come up with. And God gave us that imagination. So I think when it comes to these things, there comes a point where we got to say, okay, God, that's what it is, and I'm going to stop trying to figure it out. Because you're God, I'm not, and I have to be okay with that. And when we look at this, and we look at God and who he is and his characteristics, and I know we talked about that the last couple weeks, God and all his infinite characteristics, the Holy Spirit is fully part of that. He is fully God, and everything that comes along with that. We're going to be getting into how the Spirit came to the disciples and his roles next week. But with the rest of the time today, I kind of want to focus on some practical truths about the Holy Spirit. Some of these things I've already mentioned, but we're going to kind of elaborate a little bit more on them. So years ago, I was doing kind of a little series on the Holy Spirit with some youth. And I remember one of them asking me, can we pray to the Holy Spirit? And I never thought about that question at the time. I'm like, And, you know, as you kind of sit back and you reflect about it, and the character of who the Holy Spirit is, He's God. Do we pray to God? Do we pray to Jesus? Yes, we can pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't do it. It's kind of, I honestly can tell you, I don't know that I've ever been in like a corporate worship setting where someone just said, Holy Spirit, you know. But it's okay. And I think it leads into this first point I'm going to make, is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Just like God, just like the Son, he is a person. He is not an indistinct power or thing. Have you ever heard anyone refer to the Holy Spirit as an it? Anyone? Have you? I have on multiple occasions. That's kind of like when a lady's pregnant and they're like, oh, look at it, you know, or something like that. It's like, no, that's a baby, you know? Especially later in a pregnancy, like when you know what it's going to be and you've given it a name and people are still like, it's growing. No, little Billy is, you know? We do that with the Holy Spirit. It's crazy. We can have some really bad misunderstandings of the Holy Spirit. John 14:17 tells us this. Even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He is a person. He is a person of the Trinity. This verse right here, John 14:17, calls us into a relationship with the Holy Spirit and does not allow us to think of him as some weird power or force that we can harness. You're into definitions. I read this and I thought this was really good. The Holy Spirit is a person who has personal relationships with believers and with the Father and the Son. And they all work in conjunction. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they have a relationship with each other and they work together. Multiple times in Scripture, we see where they're working and they're doing things. All right, second point. The Holy Spirit is God. We've said it several times. The word Spirit and God, when we go back and we look at the Greek, they are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament. Same word. Okay, context tells us what is being addressed here. In Acts chapter 2, we read Peter's challenge to Ananias. All right, here's what he says. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not be your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Here Peter is referring to the Holy Spirit because he's God. And that when we make up stuff and we lie and we do deceitful things and we sin, we're doing it to the Holy Spirit. Third point, the Holy Spirit is eternal and holy. Jesus tells his disciples in John that he is sending them someone who will be with them forever. In Hebrews, we read that it was through the Spirit that Jesus offered himself unblemished to God. See that we've seen there, that's how they're working together. It was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus offered himself to God the Father. Something we have to remember, the Holy Spirit is not something that comes and goes like the wind. He is forever, he is eternal, he is holy, and he is powerful. Something to think about. The Holy Spirit, he's holy, he dwells in us. So when Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, he's going to dwell, he's going to live in you. And I know we can be like, what? We're talking about God, remember? He can do whatever he wants. He lives in us. Our bodies are holy sanctuaries of God. Too often we disdain our bodies as the source of sin and our fallenness. We're like, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm not going to debate that. But at the same time, we have the Spirit of God living in us. That's a big deal. I don't think we treat it that way. We can look at ourselves as sinners because we are. But at the same time, we're able to overcome those sins because of what Jesus did on the cross and that he sent us a helper to help us deal with the sins in our life. Holy Spirit is eternal. He's holy. He's powerful. Number four, the Holy Spirit has his own mind and he prays for us. Romans 8:27 says this, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I read that and I can't think anything more comforting to me. That the Spirit of God lifts me up. Church, the literal Spirit of God knows your hurts, knows your pains, knows your struggles, and he prays for you. Now, I think about this. Oftentimes, we can struggle to pray, how to pray, what to say, can't get the words out. We can take comfort in knowing that he is jumping in for us and helping us out. Now, I want to make this very clear. That's not like a get out a praying card, okay? Like, I don't have to pray because the Spirit knows and he's doing it for me. No. You still have to do it. But the fact of just when we don't know what to do, and our heart is aching and it's hurting and we just can't figure it out, he's there for us, interceding for us. Number five, the Holy Spirit has emotions. That might be shocking. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I don't know about you. Who else has ever read that verse and was like, what does that even mean, Paul? What does that mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? I know the first time I ever read it, I'm like, I don't understand this. How can I grieve God? Something that our culture has somewhat done is make it seem like having emotions, being an emotional person, weakness. But it's a terrible lie. God created emotion. Like anything else, we can misuse it and abuse it. But since he created emotions, it shouldn't be all that shocking that he can have them. And so, to understand this, the Holy Spirit is grieved when there's a rift in our relationship with him or with other people. That pains the Spirit of God. He hurts for his people. When we're fighting with another person, or we're like, God, I don't even want to talk to you right now. Just like anybody else. I don't know if I walked up to one of you today and I say, well, I don't really like you right now. I mean, are you going to be like, yay? I mean, you might be. But, I mean, most of us would be like, that hurts. We have a God that wants to be in a relationship with us. And so anytime there's a rift or anything, it's going to grieve him. Ephesians tells us this. When we are not unified, not loving, when we are hateful, when we gossip, the list goes on and on. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you think about it, since he's the creator of feelings, I think when we grieve him, that he grieves for us more deeply than our understanding can really reach. Let me ask, when was the last time, by the way, this is a rhetorical question, when was the last time you were pained because of your sin towards someone or the Holy Spirit? Something to think about. When was the last time our hearts ached because of our behavior? Because I can tell you now that the Spirit of God aches when we sin. Number 6. If you're wondering how many of these there's going to be, there's 7. The Holy Spirit has his own desires and will. The Holy Spirit has his own desires and will. Years ago, believe it or not, I've been in full-time ministry for 15 years. And towards the beginning of my ministry, the church that I served at, there was this lady there. Her name was Millie. And Millie was very involved. Millie was probably at the time, she was in her mid-80s, I guess. She helped. And this is, I'm just trying to make some people feel bad. She served at Awana. She was there every week. She really was. I'm not making that up. But she was in charge of the kitchen. And everybody knew that Millie's kitchen, like, don't go in there and make a mess or you're going to hear about it. And it was true. After she passed away, they took the kitchen closet and they put a little sign out that says Millie's Closet. And but Millie was not afraid to tell you how it was. And I like that in a person. At the time, I was new to ministry and I was a lot much more timid than I am now. And so when people like boss me around, I'm like, okay, you know, so. But she would just tell you. And there was a saying that started throughout the church, and not by her, but just because of her personality. And they would say, God, he loves you, but Millie has a plan for your life. It's true. But here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 11:12 says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I'll explain that. So Millie might have had a plan for me temporarily, but the Holy Spirit is putting my plan into action. All right? And if we're really honest, we like to have a plan for our own lives, right? We like to have a plan. I don't know about you. My personality is I like to be in charge. I like to be the one calling the shots, and there's a lot of reasons for that we don't have time for today. But I just like it, and I know there's a lot of people like that. There's personalities that you like. You're a go-getter. You like to do that, and then there's other people who are like, I don't know. But I think at the center of it all, we all, whether we say so or not, like to call the shots in our own lives. And sometimes we even let that fall over into we like to call the shots in our church, right? But this verse is a reminder to us who is in control. We might like to think whatever we want, that I got this, I got it. 1 Corinthians is like, no, you don't. Holy Spirit's got this. He's putting things into action for you. And he's guiding you. And he's leading you. We don't get to choose our gifts that we're given. You know, and this we're going to get into this a little bit more next week. But, you know, when we accept Jesus and we the Holy Spirit is given to us and, you know, we get blessed with gifts, we don't get to say, oh, God, you know, I'm not really into that. Can I trade it in? It doesn't work that way. Right? Well, God, I'm not comfortable with that. that's out of my comfort zone. And God's like, exactly. That's why the Spirit picked that for you. So we don't get to choose our gifts. We don't get to choose the direction of our church. We don't get to decide on the direction He has for our lives. And if you think that you do, I know for me, when I'm calling the shots in my life, that's when it's going horribly wrong. Now, it's not a saying, I'm not going to tell you and I'm not going to stand up here, just because you're following God and you're doing everything He wants you to do, that life is going to be just phenomenal and just roses and just bunny rabbits and kitty cats, okay? It's not the way it works. But I can tell you that when I'm following God, when I'm listening to the Holy Spirit lead me, there's a peace in my life. Because He has to be in control. Because He has the best plan for us. I remember years ago, I said something similar to this in a sermon, and I had a guy come up to me after the service, and he said, you know, I felt this Holy Spirit guiding me or leading me to do this, whatever it was, years ago, and I just didn't do it. I'm like, oh, really? So you just ignored it? He's like, yeah. And I said, and how has things turned out? And he shared with me that his life has been one disaster after another. They're connected. When we just ignore God, we don't need to be shocked when things are consistently bad for us. And we're unhappy. And there's no joy. He is in control. The Holy Spirit gets to call the shots, and He has a plan for everything He does. When it comes to wills and desires, Jesus knows exactly what to do because He prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Right? It's not about our will. It's about God. It's about His Holy Spirit that He's given to us to guide us, to direct us, to lead us. And when we ignore Him, it's not good. Number 7. Some of these you heard last week. But the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Big words, right? Break this down. All these mean is that the Spirit is powerful, He's everywhere, and He's all-knowing. Just like God, just like Jesus, they all share these characteristics because they're God. Some verses, if you're just taking notes, I'm not gonna turn to there because of time. But if you're taking notes, I'll just give you some references real quick. Zechariah 4:6 speaks on this. 1 Corinthians 2:10 and Psalm 139:7-8 back up those points. If you didn't get all of them, come see me. I'll give them to you. These are all attributes of the Holy Spirit. And they're all attributes, going back to this whole thing again, that we will never fully grasp. If I ever try to really sit down and go, wow, God can be everywhere? And He's all-knowing? He knows everything? And He can do whatever He wants? And I try to wrap my head around that, I probably would just like implode. Because we're not supposed to get it. We're missing the point if that's all we're focused on. Isaiah 40, verse 13 tells us, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows Him His counsel? Isaiah, I always read that and I'm like, he's being a little cheeky there. Like, he's like, you know, tell me, who's figured out God? Who on this planet does God come to and say, hey, I need some advice? It doesn't happen, right? Because He doesn't need it. but we need his. We don't need to figure out those things. We just need to trust who God is. All right, as we kind of close things up, the question is, what do we take away this week? One thing I think about is the Holy Spirit deserves our attention. I think we need to talk to him more. I think we need to ask for his guidance more, because he is the living Spirit of God on this planet right now. He's got a big job. Actually, I have a Bible software program, and when I was preparing this week and for next week, I just decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do a search for the Trinity and just see what the breakdown is. And verses that specifically refer to the Holy Spirit outnumber verses about God the Father and Jesus by over 100. Probably more than that. He's an important guy. We need to treat him that way. He desires a relationship with us. If we are not seeking relationship with the Holy Spirit, we are missing out on something invaluable. He's not some invisible wind that comes and goes. He's always present and has chosen to live within us. That blows my mind. We need to treat him that way. How awesome he is. Church, I think we can become apathetic to our faith because we don't see results. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a season where you're like, I just don't see it, and I'm just so distraught over this. I don't even know what to do. Anybody ever been there before? Right? When we don't see God working in us, through us, those around us, it can be discouraging. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit is the one working among us. He has been tasked with being our helper. Next week, we're going to break that down more. But if we aren't calling on him and relying on him and trusting him to do his work, no wonder we aren't seeing him in action, because we're focused on all the wrong places. Because usually when we get to that point, we go, God, I don't see you working in my life. What have we done? Have we made it about God? Or have we turned it into our own little pity party, right? Because I'll tell you what, the moments in my life, and trust me, I've been there. I've been like, oh, woe is me, right? But the moments when I am focused on God, when I'm focused on his Spirit, I'm asking for his guidance, his direction, I don't feel that. I don't feel lost. But the moments I turn it to myself and I go, I can do this, I got this, those are the moments where I'm like, why isn't God here? Because it was a party for one and it was mine, so. I can't say this enough. The youth know this. We did a retreat about this last year. It's not about us. It's not. Never has, never will be. It's literally all about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, who can remember, what did I preach on the last time I preached? I just want to see how good you are. Anyone? Some of you is unfair, so you can't say it. Anyone? I see it was really impactful. Seriously, nobody in this room? You don't count. Yes, Jonah. Worship. Okay, worship. I'm a little disappointed in the rest of you. Just so you know, we do have a YouTube channel. It is there. I encourage you to go home and watch it this afternoon and all the other ones that are on there. But when I think about worship, I think about our time here this morning. When we come into God's house, we have to allow ourselves to be led by his Spirit. Because his Spirit comes into this room, and if we're like distracted, and if obviously you don't remember the sermon, but if we go back to it, you know, we can't be distracted by things, because when we're distracted, we're not really worshiping. We got to allow the Holy Spirit, and we go, Holy Spirit, you know, come in here. Keep me focused on what I need to be focused on. And right now, that is you. We need to do that, because it's not about us. It's not about our comfort levels. It's not about, ooh, the temperature is just not right in here for me. I don't even know what to call it. It was like a youth concert series thing. I did 2 years in a row. We called it Youth Stock, and we had all these Christian bands come out and Christian entertainers. And it was the first year I did it, it was my first, like, foray into the entertainment industry. And so I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm going to get to know how to do these things. And I remember the first time I got a band's rider, which is just it's basically their statement of demands. And I was blown away. Like, this one band was like, I don't eat red meat, and these are the type of teas I prefer, and you have to have this. And so multiply this by 10, okay? Because I think that's how many entertainers we had that year. And so, like, you walk into this little room we set up for these people, and I mean, we joke about it, right? But, like, the bowl of just blue M&Ms, and it was just like that. And I'm like, maybe I could start doing this on, like, Sundays. Like, just here's my list of demands. It's like, nope, see ya. But we do that to God. We come in to his house, his world's dungeon. He was on trial, basically, for his life. And he also all of a sudden just breaks out in praise to God. You know, all the disciples basically gave their life for God because it wasn't about them. And our relationship to the Holy Spirit and how he guides us and what he does for us, it's about us. It's about listening for him. And we're so often doing this that we don't shut our mouths long enough to hear what he has to say. The Holy Spirit was sent to us by Jesus, our Savior, to work and move in our lives. Like I said, next week, we're going to get into more of the nuts and bolts. We're going to talk about Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came to us and his specific jobs. But I want to leave you with these questions. He came to do what Jesus sent him for. Are we letting him? Or are we getting in his way? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you do. Lord, we thank you for creating this planet that we live on and giving life. And Jesus, we thank you for coming, living a life that was so perfect and pure and always an example to us, and then dying on a cross to take our punishment so that we could live. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your work. We thank you for how you convict us and push us to do the right things. We need this in our lives. We need you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.